Good morning, everyone. And again, my name is Kathleen Galley, and I am an MPH student at San Francisco State University. And I also work as a staff research associate at the University of California, San Francisco. And so what I'm going to talk to you about today is the project I was working on as a research associate at UCSF. And I'll be talking to you today about the relationship between housing stability and psychiatric rehospitalization among patients with mental illness. And my co-authors on this project are Romina Kim, Dr. Norval Hickman, and Dr. Judith Prochaska. And I have no relationships to disclose. Okay, so just to give you a background about our project, rehospitalization here will refer to a readmission to a patient being readmitted to the hospital, again, after previously being discharged. And this could be as short as 1 day to 1 year. In California, just to give you an idea, readmissions account for about $31 billion of the Medicare charges, which equates to about 50% of the total Medicare charges in California. In addition, we have another government supplement, Medi-Cal. And in addition, readmissions count for $10 billion of Medi-Cal bills. And again, going to Blake's presentation, how costly acute care is, and definitely shown here in California. And across all hospitals in California, the average percent of patients that had at least one hospital readmission was about 36%. Now, psychiatric in-hospital services exceeds this average, and people who are readmitted for psychiatric issues are about 44%. Prior studies have identified characteristics associated with rehospitalization, gender, age, ethnicity, and these associations have found that those are usually people who are male, African American descent, have a highest attainment of a high school education, and are aged between 35 and 54. And are also low income. Additional psychiatric factors have also been associated with rehospitalization, and that is usually psychosis has been associated, and prior rehospitalizations have also been associated. However, environmental factors such as housing stability have been ignored. So what I'm going to talk to you today is about the stability of patients' living situation in relation to hospital psychiatric readmissions and psychiatric emergency visits. And as I will talk to you also later on, is that the both of these, as Blake had also mentioned, is a type of acute care within the hospital that we had recruited from. Stability of housing was assessed at baseline, and hospital psychiatric readmissions and psychiatric emergency room visits were assessed up to 12 months' time. So let me give you a little bit of information about our initial study. So the initial study was a randomized clinical tobacco treatment trial. It was conducted between April 2009 to 2011. And we recruited patients from the inpatient psychiatry units at San Francisco General Hospital. Most of our patients were recruited during 100% smoke-free hospitalization. And at that time, we thought that would be a great time to intervene to provide tobacco treatment. Our patient population was ethnically diverse, and most of our patients were uninsured. And to be included in the study, they did not have to want to quit to be in the study. And again, we followed patients up until 12 months' time and had done follow-up assessments at times 3, 6, and 12 months. And just to give you a little information about our recruitment site at San Francisco General Hospital, it's a public county hospital, and it's unique for many reasons. First, it's the major healthcare provider for the estimated 150,000 people in San Francisco without insurance. Second, it's the largest provider of acute psychiatric care and the area's only level one trauma center. Third, there are teams within San Francisco General of mental health providers, including nurse practitioner, a psychiatrist, psychologist, social workers, that these teams focus on providing culturally sensitive care. So, for example, there are teams that focus on African Americans, Latinos, women and people identifying as gay, lesbian, bisexual, or transgender. And there were ethnically cultural focused units, actually, but this was disbanded in 2008 due to budget cuts. Budget cuts also resulted in shorter hospital stays for patients, a high concentration of patients with acute mental illness within the hospital, and as a result, busier staff. 8% of patients served at SFGH, or San Francisco General Hospital, are homeless. People with mental health problems that go to San Francisco General are considered by many to be one of the most challenging mental health population. Many have comorbid issues dealing with mental health problems and substance abuse, with many coming into the hospital for detox and drugs. So in our study, we had a set of inclusion criteria, and again, as this was a tobacco treatment trial, we had looked for people that had smoked at least 5 cigarettes a day. It was adult inpatient units, so most of our participants were 18 years and older, spoke English, and had no plans to move out of the area for the duration of the study time. We also, due to this vulnerable population, we had an extra step in our consenting process. We administered a 3-item screener where we asked the study participants if they could tell us the purpose, risks, and benefits of our study after reading the consent form. And based on this, those who passed the study were included and those who couldn't tell us that were excluded. And so just to give you an idea, we had about 87% of people who had passed, so about 5 people didn't pass the screener. And we also excluded those who were acutely psychotic, who couldn't answer assessment questions. And again, as this was a tobacco treatment trial, participants who had contraindications for nicotine replacement therapy were also excluded. Those that were randomized into our intervention group were offered nicotine patches. So those that were, for example, pregnant, had a recent heart attack, or late stage liver kidney disease were excluded. Okay, so just to give you an idea of our recruitment and follow-up rates, overall we had a 71 recruitment rate. We enrolled 100 people, and throughout follow-ups we retained an 80% retainment rate at 3, 6, and 12-month follow-up, and overall had a 92% retainment rate. Using various outreach methods, it was not easy trying to reach out and get follow-up for these participants. We used numerous methods, texting, social media, Facebook, email, going out to clinics, going to people's appointments, going to even the shelters, you name it, we were there. And it was definitely a part of dedicated staff and involvement, really getting into the community that got us such a high retainment, again, 92%. And as you can see, this served to be very, very important in collecting information and data on rehospitalization and psychiatric service visits. So our methods. So we looked at at housing stability at baseline. For example, we asked, where'd you live? Where were you living prior to being admitted into the hospital? How long have you lived there? And we asked for address and contact information. And data on psychiatric rehospitalizations and psych emergency services, again, were collected at follow-up assessments at 3, 6, and 12-month follow-up, and were confirmed using the electronic medical record. And just to also let you know that during these follow-ups, we had also asked if they had gone to a hospital for inpatient reasons and emergency service, but it did not have to be at San Francisco General Hospital. So they also reported going to different services within the Bay Area. And again, those were also confirmed via a medical record. But in our analysis, we had 6 people were dropped due to loss of follow-up or they had died during while being in the study. So just to give you an example of our information about our sample characteristics, so overall we had 94 participants, mostly male. Mean age was about 39. The mean education was about a high school education. 16% were foreign-born. 66% had an income of less than $10,000 a year. 79% were unemployed. 65% were never married, 33% were uninsured, and 45% received Medicaid only. And as you can see here, we had a very diverse population, with 41% being white, 29% African American, 12% Asian and Pacific Islander, 10% Latino, 7% reported being multiracial, and 1% Native American. And clinical characteristics. These were diagnosed on admission using DSM-4 Axis 1 diagnosis. 38% had unipolar depression, 46% had a psychotic disorder, and 12% came in with a bipolar disorder. 76% had at least one prior psych hospitalization at baseline. And the Global Assessment of Functioning, which is the GAF, is a numeric scale from 0 to 100 used by mental health clinicians and physicians to subjectively rate social, occupational, psychological functioning of adults. And on admission, we had a mean of 30, which implied that these patients had serious functional impairment. And at discharge, the mean was at 44, where they were getting discharged and they were still having serious symptoms, for example, even suicidal thoughts. And as you can see, people were admitted mainly due to danger to self, danger to others, and 5% gravely disabled. And so our findings, So data analysis was consisted of descriptive and inferential statistics, and this is what we found. So about 48% of our population had an unstable living situation. And stable living situation was a dichotomized variable with those that reported at baseline living in residence for less than 6 months. And those living 6 months or more was coded as having a stable living situation. Nearly half the sample, 48%, reported this, and the types of unstable living situation were 64% reported being homeless, living in a shelter, single residency occupancy, which is a multiple tenant building, like a hotel, usually houses and individuals in single rooms, kind of like an old hotel that was redone to house single occupants, and boarding care, which is assisted living. 19% had come from a drug treatment facility, 2% from jail, and 15% reported living at a friend's or relative's house. Okay, so this is the number of participants that experienced at least one psychiatric rehospitalization or PS visit. As you can see, at the 3 month, we had a jump with about 30 people reporting already a PS visit or rehospitalization. And over at 12 months' time, we ended with a total of 51 patients reporting a rehospitalization or PS visit. Total, over 12 months' time, there were 174 psychiatric rehospitalizations and PS visits. And per person, this ranged from 1 up to 20 visits. And now this is a graph on rehospitalization PS visit by housing stability at 6 months and 12 months. And as you can see here, psychiatric rehospitalization and psych emergency visits were highest among those with unstable housing at both 6 and 12 months' time. Overall, at 12 months' time, 54% of the sample were rehospitalized or had a psych emergency visit. And of those that had a psych emergency or PES visit, 57% had an unstable living situation. So we took it a step further and conducted a multivariate logistic regression model, controlling for demographics such as age, gender, ethnicity, years of education, that Fagerstrom test for nicotine dependence score, previous hospitalizations, and treatment condition. Findings show that unstable housing is associated with nearly a threefold greater likelihood of rehospitalization or PS visit in our sample. And we also controlled for psychosis using the psychosis scale of the BASIS 24, the Behavior and Symptom Identification Scale. conclusion. So findings indicate that environmental factors such as housing stability is significantly associated with psychiatric rehospitalization and psych emergency service visits in patients with mental illness. Future research is warranted to replicate these findings, especially in non-smokers with mental illness, though we expect to find no difference between smokers and non-smokers. The findings suggest efforts to also secure stable housing for mental health patients may help offset these costs currently used for acute care. It would also be of interest to look at housing situation over time, as housing situation was only assessed at baseline. And that's it. Thank you.